We have Dave Lewis with us today. Dave was pastor here years ago before I was here. A lot of years ago then. But anyway, I called Dave up or left a message for him, and he got back to me, said he'd be glad to come. And I said, well, I guess then I'll have to put pressure on the people of the church to give money. Hopefully we can pay you when you come. And his response to me was, well, Joe, if you don't have the money to pay, that's okay. I'll just keep coming back until you do. So anyway, we're glad to have you here today, Dave, and please come, and the check's good, so.
Thank you. Good morning. It's good to be back, and I'll tell, even though Joe didn't, because as I was preparing for today, I was looking over and I saw how many things started right here at Bangor Liberty. And one of those was that this was my first pastorate in 67. And so the summer of 67. And then I retired in 2012, not from here, but I retired in 2012. And I sent out a letter saying that I would be happy to fill in on Sunday morning if I was needed any place. And the first church that I spoke at was June 12th, 2012, and that was here. So you were the first ones that I, and today as I stand before you, this is the 268th Sunday that I've been out preaching. Then I noticed another thing that beginning this year, 2023, the first church that I spoke at was January 1st of this year. I spoke here, and I'm back here today, and this is the 32nd Sunday that I've been out this year. So a lot of things started right here, and it's good to be back with you. Story is told of two brothers that were dirty, rotten scoundrels in this little town that they lived in. They were very infamous for how bad they were. But it was a small little town, and one of the brothers died. And there was only one church in town. They didn't go to it, but there was only one church in town, and the other brother went to the pastor of that church, and he said, I would like for you to do my brother's service. And the guy's thinking, there's no way I'm doing that. He says, and in appreciation for you doing the service, I'd like to make a $10,000 contribution to the church. Well, that changed the perspective immediately. He said, but there is one condition. You have to say that my brother was a saint. Well, now the guy really conflicted. However, $10,000 is $10,000. So he agreed to do it. Day of the service, he got up and he started out by listing all of the dirty, rotten things that this man had done. It took a while. It was a long list. And then he said, but compared to his brother, you haven't heard the punchline yet. Isn't it interesting the games we play? And that's one of them. We never compare ourselves, at least I don't. When I'm comparing myself, I never compare myself with Billy Graham or with Mother Teresa. I always compare myself with somebody else that I think isn't doing as well. The comparison game is no place in the Scripture. No place in the Scripture does it tell us that God looks at us and compares us in how we're doing with how other people are doing. And that's significant today. If you're not already there, if you turn in your Bibles, we're looking today at Psalm 86. Psalm 86. And we're beginning in the 8th verse. And it says, "Among the gods there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever." He says, give me, God, an undivided heart. Are there any of us sitting here who wouldn't say, yeah, that's a great prayer, and that's exactly what we want to do? Give God an undivided heart. The scripture makes it plain that that is what God desires from us. And Jesus said what? In talking about this, he says, you can't serve two masters. You and your life are going to have to make a choice. There is no undivided. Scripture says that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind. And Jesus said, as we seek after him, we're to seek him with what? All our heart. We're to seek first the kingdom of God. So it's a great prayer, and it's a prayer that I'm sure we want to do. But how do we do it? How do we give him all our heart? Let's begin by looking at some of the things that keep us from doing that. In Exodus chapter 3, there's a very famous story, you're familiar with it, of Moses as he's walking one day and he walks by and there's this bush that's burning. And he notices it, that it's burning, but he also notices that it doesn't burn out. That the fire does not go away, it just keeps burning. Now, I give Moses a lot of credit for noticing that it was burning and noticing that it didn't burn out. And I say that because, and I was just visiting with someone about this before service started today, as well as going out and speaking on Sunday, we have been, for the last 12 years, almost 12, watching grandkids. We have 9. And we've helped out from a couple of days a week to 3 or 4 or 5 days a week. And recently, we had a stretch of 8 days where we had grandkids every one of those days, different ones, but grandkids every one of those 8 days. And that concluded with having 3 of our grandkids from Waukee come and stay overnight with us. And then the next day, we had 7 grandkids that we watched all day. And then that night, we had the 3 grandkids stay with us again. And the next day, Saturday, we took them back to Des Moines. And then we stayed for softball games and football games. And we were driving home. We didn't get home until about 8 o'clock, but we were driving home, and I want to tell you that if there was a bush burning in the back of our car that did not burn out, we would not even notice. You hear what I'm saying? And you hear what I'm saying because what about your schedule? We got this, and we got that, and we got this, and it goes and goes and goes and goes. And here we are today talking about giving God an undivided heart. When exactly is there time in our life to do that? And I want to say to you, for those of you who are younger and are thinking, when I retire, you can forget that. That doesn't work either. When can we find time to give him an undivided heart. We have to think about the effort that that's going to take. We have to think about what we're willing to put into it. And then I thought about, not only is there that, does that conflict with it, but there's another issue. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Christian group Mercy Me. Their most famous song is I Can Only Imagine, but they've had several hits. Well, they had a song called In the Blink of an Eye. And listen to these words from that song. Sometimes I feel disappointed by the way I spend my time. How can I further your kingdom when I'm so wrapped up in mine? That speak to you? That speaks to me. How much of my life is not about God's kingdom, what God wants, but my kingdom and what I want? And how, living like that, do I give God an undivided heart? I mean, it sounded good when I read it out of the Psalms, when the psalmist prayed it, but living it out, now that's a different thing. Of all places, I found a scripture in Hosea 10:12, it says, For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. Saying to us what? That we have to determine in our lives, even as we have to deal with all the demands on our life, determine in our lives that we are going to do this. We are going to make a commitment to this. Henry Blackaby says, you do not simply add Christ on to your busy life and carry on with business as usual. And as I read that, I thought, you know, that is exactly the definition of most Christians. We add Jesus on to everything else. We're not giving him an undivided heart. We're giving him a little bit of our time sometimes and a little bit of our energy because he's added on to. When the scriptures tell us, you've heard these, that we are to deny ourselves. We're to take up our cross and follow him. And Jesus was very clear. I think how often it's not preached from the pulpit, because when it's preached from the pulpit, the preachers don't have people afterwards, and that was a wonderful sermon. You know, if you preach this, you're not going to hear that at the end of the sermon. Jesus said that we have to count the cost. And he was very clear that there is a cost that is involved. So, the question becomes, do we really want to give him an undivided heart? And if we do, what's that going to mean? How is that going to look in our lives? I remember riding with an older couple, a man and a woman. And as I'm riding with them in the car, and this was an older couple that had done very well in this life. Very well. And she was saying to me, she says, and we thank and praise God for his blessings and for how good he's been. And she said, but if God asks us to, we'd give it all up in a minute. Wouldn't we, honey? And it was quiet in the car. And so she said again, wouldn't we, honey? And I give him credit for not saying anything. Because it's easy to say, oh yeah, we'd give it all up. I mean, as I think about that, I think of all the things I'd be willing to give up if I'm pretty sure I don't have to give them up. But giving them up, now that's a different story. An undivided heart is a heart that's willing to give up. An undivided heart is a heart that is willing to be put under conviction. And I don't find myself there a lot. I was thinking about when I was pastor here, when I came here as pastor and was pastor here, Honey Creek New Providence had a very popular minister. His name was Marvin Huxema. And when I came here, he was just leaving Honey Creek New Providence to go to Kenya, Africa as missionaries. And after they came back from Kenya, he started working at Quakerdale. And after I left here, I started working at Quakerdale. And we ended up being neighbors. So we were neighbors, plus we worked together. I spent a lot of time with him. And then some of the times when we were talking, he was telling me about his experience in Kenya, Africa. And he was telling me, for example, that the compound where they lived, they didn't live in a hut. It wasn't a hut, but it wasn't a house either. I mean, it was walls that, and everything was pretty much unfinished. At any rate, he was telling me that in this house that was unfinished, that was open, he would go to bed every night sleeping next to, he said, a stone, because my wife was there petrified. He said, she hates snakes. And I thought, who in their right mind doesn't? She hated snakes, and he said, we would go to bed, and as we laid there, we could hear the snakes slithering across the open rafters. And he said she couldn't even move. She was petrified. I thought, and I've thought about it several times after he's shared that with me, I never want to be put in that position. Do you? So I'm standing here and I'm preaching, Lord, I want to give you an undivided heart. And yet, what price am I willing to pay? What am I willing to do? Where's the undivided heart? It says in Revelation, in the message, in Revelation 3:19, the people I love, I call to account. I call to account. I have to answer for the things I'm not willing to give up, the price I'm not willing to pay, the cost I don't want to deal with. And if you're like me, you a lot of times don't even want to think about that, don't even want to come face to face with those things. When I worked at Quakerdale, we had chapel every week, and I was always looking for ways to try to get to these kids who didn't want to be there and who didn't want to listen and who a lot of times didn't pay any attention. And I also was filling in on Sundays at a area church. And some people who went to the church, their son was just coming back from California, where he had just gotten out of prison. He'd made some bad choices, and he had been in prison. And so And he started coming to the church, and I got to know him. And I thought, this is somebody that the kids will listen to. And so I asked him if he'd come and speak at a chapel, and he agreed to do that. And they did listen. They did listen. But he was telling me, that he had, and he said, I had been told this by others, and he said, and so I observed this myself. So when he said, people would come up to me and say, they would know his past and what he was doing. People would come up to me, a lot of church people would come up to me and say, if there's anything we can do to help. You ever say that to people? I say that to people. If there's anything we can do to help. He said, I didn't just take that at face value. He said, if they said to me, is there anything we can do to help? He said, I tested that out. He said, I'd come up with something like that. I'd run out of gas. I'd had a flat tire, or I'm stuck here. Or he said, I'd come up with something. And he said, I would call them right as I figured they were sitting down for supper. Or he said, I would call them right when I knew that there was the kickoff to the Iowa or Iowa State game. And he said, I found out quickly how many people really wanted to help and how many people just said that. The psalmist prays, give me an undivided heart. And that's what I should want to give him, and that's what you should want to give him. But we have to look at, are we really willing to do that? We read from Psalm 86, but it also says in Jeremiah 24:7, Lord, I want a heart to know you. It says also in there that I want to give you all my heart. In Jeremiah 32:39, it says, I want to live, God, with a singleness of purpose. In other words, I want your kingdom to be first before my kingdom. And interestingly, in Ezekiel 11:19, it says, God, help me that I don't have a heart of stone, that I don't have a heart that is hardened, that I don't have a heart that has grown cold. If you're reading the book of Revelations and you read one of the letters that was written to one of the churches, that's what they're accused of. Having a heart that has become cold. Henry Blackaby says, God's desire is that we devote ourselves to knowing him and loving him with all our hearts. That's undivided. That's what we should give. When I was a pastor here, and I didn't look in the, do you guys, I've been to a lot of churches. I've been in 22 different churches, and I only know of one other church that I've been in that has Sunday evening services. Do you guys still have? Well, like I said, most don't. But back in the day when I was the pastor here, we had Sunday morning and Sunday evening services. And I would like to tell you that this happened a lot, but that would be untrue. But one Sunday morning, I was preaching on rededicating ourselves to Christ. And at the end of the sermon, I invited people to come forward. Don't anybody get nervous. I'm not asking that today. I asked people to come forward, to gather up here around the front, and that we would pray together that we would be dedicated to Christ and all that he wanted. And I, like I said, this did not happen very, very often, but I've not forgotten that. Obviously, it was a lot of years ago. Just about everybody that was here that morning came up around this altar and we prayed together. That Sunday night, a man came up to me and he said, before service started, he said, "What was going on this morning?" And I didn't get where. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, when I woke up..." "When I woke up, everybody was up front." I'm telling you this morning, don't be like that guy. And don't sleep through life thinking that someday I'll give God an undivided heart. Today's the day to commit to that. "Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart." Thank you.